And we're joined now by Matthew Sweet, whose 90s album Girlfriend holds a very special place in my heart. I know a lot of you listening in your hearts as well. And this year, Matthew just released a new album called Tomorrow Forever. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk about the new album in just a minute, but I do kind of want to go back to the beginning and get to know you a little bit better. I always kind of picture these moments that, looking back, seem so kismet, you know, all of these great musicians coming together and forming a scene of music. But I know it maybe it does feel like that in the moment, maybe it doesn't. But I mean, you're working with people, you know, back in the 90s, late 80s with, you know, Richard Lloyd, Lloyd Cole, Michael Stipe. Were those people that you also had admiration for, or were it just people kind of around?
No, I did admire them, all of them. You know, I knew about REM when I was in high school, and I actually moved to Athens, Georgia to go to school when I got out in 1983. And it was partly because I'd met REM when they were playing a little club in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I grew up, and I had their first 45, their indie 45 on Hibtone, which was some little label. And it had Radio Free Europe, and the B-side was a song called Sitting Still. And Radio Free Europe was cool or whatever. It sounded kind of British to me. But Sitting Still, there was something about it that really caught my ear. And when they came to town, you know, I took my 45 and had them sign it, and they were really nice, you know, just starting to tour a lot and starting to, they'd gotten their deal. They said, you know, we have this EP coming out on IRS Records. And then that came out, you know, while I was still in high school, and they came back again. And I gave a tape of some demos, songs I was making, you know, on 4-track at home. And I gave that tape to Michael, and he wrote me a postcard and said, I really like this music, you know, which was just meant the world to me. And then I got a postcard from Linda Hopper from OOK saying, you know, come to Athens and play, you know. And so there was this scene there where people were making original music and records, and that's really what attracted me to move down there. And that was the first time I was really around a real music scene. You know, there were some bands I was in Lincoln, and there was somewhat of a scene, but not like Athens, where people kind of were coming from all over, you know, to be there.
Yeah, well, even pulling from New York to kind of come down there as well.
Yes.
How did you meet up with Richard Lloyd and Lloyd Cole?
Well, that's a good question. I met Richard after I made my very first record on Columbia. I went on tour with a group called the Golden Palominos. And actually, Michael Stipe had sung on a previous record of theirs. And I'd sang on a track, maybe two, it might have been just one. And in the band, the guitar player was this guy, Jody Harris. And we did this whole tour. And Anton Fear, who was the band leader, they got in some sort of tiff with he and Jody. And so our last show, which was two nights at the Lone Star Cafe in New York, Richard suddenly was our guitar player. At some point later, before I made my second record, I hooked up with Richard again, and he kind of played some guitar while we were sitting together. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, I knew the television albums, and I was a big fan, but I never really knew what Richard did. You know, I kind of knew it in terms of Tom Verlaine. And so it was amazing to discover what a great guitar player Richard was.
Yeah.
And so I knew him from that. And Bob Quine, Robert Quine, who ended up playing also on my second record as well as Girlfriend, I met through Fred Marr, who was a good friend of mine. in New York because we hired him on something for my first record. And Fred knew Bob from playing with the Voidoids. And so, you know, it was all these people that kind of knew each other. And Fred was like, you know, Quine really loves poppy, Beatley stuff. He loves the Birds, you know, and jangly stuff. And even though I knew him from his more punk rock sort of stuff in the Voidoids, he came and was wonderful. And, you know, we all just kind of were friends at the time.
When you released your third album, Girlfriend, did you have a feeling that it was going to blow up in the way that it did?
I don't think I ever expected it, really. We knew that we liked it, you know, that we'd done something that was sort of cool to us. And that's really all you can do kind of when you make a record is do what you feel, you know. And it was a little bit of a slow build. It first started doing really well at college radio. And, you know, it also coincided with a time when alternative rock in general became a radio genre, you know. So there were bigger stations beyond college where suddenly there was a place for new kinds of things, and they played a much wider range of music than we were used to, you know, on most formats. So there were a lot of things at play, you know, that was happening at radio, and I was able to get that kind of exposure. And at some point, you know, I was doing interviews, and the journalists would say, how does it feel like that the record is becoming so big, you know? And that's kind of how I knew. It was like, I was like, really? It is, you know? And so it just happened kind of naturally in a grassroots sort of way.
Matthew Sweet is in the studio with us. Matthew has a new album out right now called Tomorrow Forever. And, you know, this album marks 6 years since your last full-length album, Modern Art. But you've been extremely busy in the meantime, you know, doing cover albums and touring, even making that appearance on The Simpsons, which
oh,
is
Oh, that's
so
right,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, that was really, really fun. There's it's an episode where Homer decides to play bass guitar in sort of his garage band in his neighborhood. And so I got to actually, I'm a bass player originally, and so I got to play the parts, you know, where Homer was screwing around on the bass, and that was really fun. I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, what made you, or what drew you back to doing your music?
Well, I moved from Los Angeles after 20 years there. My wife and I moved back to the Midwest, to Omaha, to kind of be near more family. And we were just kind of tired of the super big city kind of experience. And so I was back there, and I'd kind of been talking for a long time about doing a Kickstarter project. And so I ran this Kickstarter the following summer after moving there. And it really is partly because I was so determined to make sure the album was really good for like all the fans that had funded it, that it took so long for me to make it. You know, it took almost 3 years to fulfill the Kickstarter thing because I did multiple batches of music. I recorded about 38 songs for the record.
Wow.
And I was supposed to do demos first, but I kind of got started so late. My mother passed away right after the campaign, and that kind of weirded me out enough that I kind of couldn't get started right away. And once I got going, I just wanted to make sure I had all different kinds of songs and everything was covered. And so I never did demos, but there was a whole extra 12-song album that I called Tomorrow's Daughter that at some point will release it. But the people from Kickstarter who got the demos download actually have this whole other 12 songs. And the album itself has 17 songs on it. So a lot of the songs are seeing the light of day.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of the album, and it does feel like there are maybe a couple of songs that are about perhaps your mother's passing, but about kind of life reflecting and looking at what comes next, some kind of bigger questions Was there some of that going on working?
I think so. Like when I started recording, I kind of did more upbeat stuff. I kind of hadn't delved into like more upsetting or troubling things for myself. And as I went on, those things just naturally kind of started to come in. And the last batch of songs I did, Debbie Peterson from the Bangles played on. My usual drummer, Rick Mank, played on most of the record. But when I got with Debbie, I wanted to do all slow, kind of moody songs. And it was more in those songs that I did in that last batch that I think more of my feelings about that subject kind of came out.
Yeah. Well, it's a gorgeous album. We've really been enjoying it here on The Current.
Oh, thank you.
And the song in particular that I've been playing a lot on the show is Trick. Is there anything you can kind of tell us about that one in particular?
Well, it should be called Trick of the Light, and I called it Trick for some reason. And it's like ever since, I'm like, Trick of the Light. It's just about kind of the illusion of things that kind of keeps you going in life. And it was one of the things I did, I guess it was from the second batch. And I was really trying to do sort of real power poppy kind of music. And so it's kind of got an upbeat thing about it. But it still is sort of a subject that is saying, you know, we kind of see what we want to see, you know, in life. And I love when a radio song has some kind of deeper meaning. I mean, Girlfriend was more like a just pickup line, you know, love song.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I had my song Sick of Myself, it had more of this other thing in it. And I really liked that. So Trick of the Light is maybe a little more like that. It's the first song on the record and has seemed to catch on.
Yeah, well, let's take a listen to that right now. Matthew Sweet's new album is called Tomorrow Forever, and it's out now. Matthew, thank you so much for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's take a listen to it off of the new album. It is Trick from Matthew Sweet, and it's here on The Current.